Well, tonight we're going to address another question that was handed in. For those of you listening to this, here a while back we handed out slips of paper and asked people to turn in questions about things concerning the Word of God and just whatever they might have on their heart relative to Scripture. And tonight is another one of those questions, and I'll read the question and then we'll begin to answer, because I think this question could be asked by a lot of people. It says, "Pastor, you've spoken on this repeatedly. I'm still having trouble. When I pray for healing for folks and tell them they are healed, and to human senses they are not healed as yet, what do I say? That I have not prayed, fasted, worshipped, praised enough because God never fails, or what? I'm speaking of those who do not go to our church. I think we all know there is more to know, and this is the thing to do no matter if the healing has manifested yet. Help." Well, quite frankly, here where it says, "I'm speaking of those who do not go to our church," you're also speaking of those who do go to our church. Maybe not everybody. I can remember, here it's been a while back, there was a person who was attending our church that the doctors had diagnosed with a particular ailment. An ailment that basically for which medical science has no cure. And I began to call this person healed in the services, begin to speak to this person, begin to speak God's word over this person. Sometimes at the end of the service, I just come down off the platform and stand in front of this person, begin to speak the word of God, and just call this person healed. And many times I'd lead the congregation in confessions over this person. Well, the healing didn't manifest in one of our services. It manifested in a service someplace else, a service that some of us were attending at that time. But during those services and those times where I was calling that person healed, I received criticism for that. And I was told that basically what I was doing was wrong, and that it had no merit, that it had no bearing, that this person really was not healed, and that they wouldn't believe that this healing was there until after they saw it as a manifestation. Well, you know, how do you have a manifestation of a spiritual work? Let me rephrase the question. Salvation, born again, how does that manifest? How does it manifest? I mean, do your fingers get longer? Your ears, do they wiggle? I mean, what happens when born again takes place? How does it manifest? Well, hopefully, eventually, over time, you'll see the fruit of that born again spirit. However, being nice is not simply the only way to identify that somebody's born again, because there are a lot of nice lost people. Well, anyway, the point I'm trying to make is this. This is a fair question. And it's one that a lot of people have wondered about. And I'm sure if we said, if you've wondered this way too, raise your hand, everybody would raise their hand. Because we've had a lot of people that we've prayed for, healing hasn't manifested. And so we sit back and we wonder, well, what's the problem? And many times, yes, I have. I'm here where it says, "Pastor, you've spoken on this repeatedly." You know, and I have over the years taught on this. And what's interesting is that as I've taught on this in the past, what I've taught, and I realize not everybody's heard everything that's been taught, okay? I accept that and understand it. But for those who have heard, what's interesting is that many times relative to this topic about praying for the sick, what I've heard them say, it really contradicts what has been taught and what we've seen in God's Word. And that leaves me kind of scratching my head, figuratively speaking, in that, well, what, you know, there's a song, "Whose report will you believe?" And then, you know, "We will believe the report of the Lord." So in my mind, I'm thinking, well, now whose report are you believing? I mean, what are you choosing to allow to be the foundation and the cornerstone of your doctrine? Because we can all talk a good religious talk, but what do we really believe? And quite frankly, what you really believe begins to come out when the chips are down, so to speak. When you're facing a difficult time, it doesn't matter if it's physical healing or not. I mean, when you're facing a difficult time, that's pretty much what you really believe begins to come out. And that's pretty much what you'll speak. Well, when it comes to healing, God's word absolutely must be the standard for healing. It must be the standard for what we believe. I'd like you to open first to Psalm chapter 107. Because we're going to look at several things in Scripture here. One of the reasons that a lot of people don't believe in healing for today is because it doesn't just manifest, because it just doesn't happen. Well, if it was God's will for people to be healed, they would be healed. No, that's not true. It is not true. And those of you that are listening to this, pay very close attention. That is not true. Let me ask you this. Is it God's will for everybody to be born again and go to heaven?
Yes.
Yes. But does anybody die without Jesus as their Savior?
Yes.
Well, as far as we know, yes. So therefore, would you say that healing is less important than being born again? Well, sure. Because think of it this way. God would rather you come to heaven with a paralyzed body than go to hell in perfect health. See what I mean? So therefore, the most important thing for God, or to God, is for people to be born again. And yet there are people that don't get born again. Now, if it was just going to happen, it would happen. But it doesn't. It takes more than God's will for a person to be born again. And I know that some people are so convinced that God's will is going to be accomplished no matter what. That is not true. Oh, yes, Brother Martin, it is. And what's amazing to me, well, I guess by now, I probably should stop using that word, because anymore it's like nothing's amazing. But what saddens me is how many people are just so hard-headed spiritually when it comes to what they want to believe. They just don't take the time to accept what God's word has to say. They're so indoctrinated in a religious past that it doesn't matter what you show them from God's word. It's almost like the next thing out of their mouth is, yeah, but. Well, but. I see what you're saying, but. And they keep, throwing their butts out in the middle of this thing. Well, God's word has to be the standard for what we believe relative to healing. Now, in Psalm chapter 107, look in verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now, some people would say, yeah, but Psalm 107 is only about the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. I understand what you're saying there. However, we're not going to do this tonight, but we could take the time and verse by verse break down the entire 107th chapter of Psalms, and I can show you how that, yes, it is for, it is speaking of the children of Israel, but it is a prophecy for the body of Christ. Remember, basically the entire Old Testament, relatively speaking, is a type and shadow of what is to come. So God sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now look over in Isaiah 53. And we're not going to teach in depth in any of these passages, but we're just going to point a few things out. Isaiah 53, verse 5. It says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Now that two-word phrase, "are healed," comes from the Hebrew word rapha, and it means the work of a physician to bring about complete healing and wholeness. So with his stripes, Jesus became the physician that brought about complete healing and wholeness. Now some people might say, well, yeah, but that's spiritual healing. And I've heard that taught so many times, and I've addressed this topic of spiritual healing. In the most literal sense, God does not heal spiritually. You are born again spiritually. But in the realm of the soul, we can experience what we call emotional healing. And some people, when they say spiritual healing, I think that's what they're really talking about. But in the most literal sense, there is no spiritual healing. There is only spiritual life or spiritual death. There's either born again or not born again. Is it, like I said before, a woman, she's either pregnant or she's not pregnant. There is no in-between. So born again or not born again, there is no in-between. There is no such thing in the Bible that reveals to us that God heals spiritually. He rebirths spiritually, if you will. Where it says, by His stripes we are healed, this is speaking of physical healing. And this is referred to over in 1 Peter 2:24, where it talks about by His stripes you were healed. And it's again, it's speaking about the same thing. Now look over in Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, in verse 17. Well, I'll tell you what, you really need to back up here to verse 17. When even was come, or 16. When even was come, they brought unto Him, Jesus, many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word, and healed all that were sick. So, you know, if you showed up that day, and you went up to Jesus, He healed all that were sick. All. You see this? A-L-L as in nobody left out. Everything from an infected hangnail to leprosy to whatever it would be. Everybody was healed. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Some people would say, yeah, but that was only for that particular point in time. Well, that can't be true, because we see throughout Scripture more than one occasion where everybody was healed that went to Jesus. Well, then somebody could come back and say, well, yeah, okay, that's relative then to the ministry of Jesus. But beyond then, it didn't count. Well, I beg to differ, because as you look through the book of Acts, you see healings carrying on and continuing. Well, yeah, but that, what you see, what I say earlier, but they keep throwing their butts out. Remember that? Okay, now, the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, let's think for a moment. Why would what we've just read so far relative to healing, why would that still be for today? Why? Why would it not only be applicable, Psalm 107, to the children of Israel, Matthew 8:17, to the ministry of Jesus in the four Gospels? Why would it not be only applicable to those particular points in time? It's because if you understand God's original intent for humanity, that original intent was perfection. No sickness, no disease. Go back to Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2. It's all in there. Sickness and disease was not introduced. No, the foundation for the introduction of sickness and disease to humanity did not take place until Genesis chapter 3. So when Jesus came and He began working His work here on earth, His purpose was to bring about the will of the Father to mankind. And you say, well, everything's not perfect yet. Yet is the operative word. Keep reading the Bible, and yet becomes a past tense thing. In other words, there's coming a time when perfection is going to exist. Jesus came and established the foundation for the ultimate recreation of the universe to take place. I'm not going to teach in all that, but it's there in Peter. It's there in Revelation. It's all in there. So when Jesus came, the work He began. Now listen, it hasn't ended. Some of the things have been completed, meaning He has completed the work to make it possible for us to pass from spiritual death to spiritual life. He's completed the work that makes it possible for us to have healing manifested in our bodies. So God's original intention was for man to not be sick, for man to not be infirmed, for man to not have afflictions. That's why we know that Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, that fulfillment, let me kind of rephrase this for the sake of this teaching. That the fulfillment of what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet would begin in the realm of mankind. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. In other words, Jesus kicked this. It was a prophecy in Isaiah, and then Jesus comes and kicks this thing into gear, and it's an ongoing process. Otherwise, what was it about these people back then that God preferred above us? Why would he want them healed and not us? Why would he want us to still be sick and infirm? And why would he still want to teach us lessons by breaking our bones and so forth to hinder us from accomplishing his goal of having the gospel spread throughout the world? Why would he do that to us? See, it doesn't make any sense. If you just stop and think, to the religious mind, it makes all kinds of sense. But to Scripture, it makes no sense whatsoever. Look in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and take a look at verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline then thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep, guard, protect. In other words, you stand sentinel over your heart and guard it relative to what is being put into it. What is supposed to be put into it? The Word of God. Now, who's going to guard our heart? God? No. Listen, God will not protect you from false doctrine. Here's what I mean by that. You can choose to subject yourself to it all day long, and you can listen to it on the radio all day long, TV all night long, books, tapes, everything else. And God will just let you do it. He'll let you feed in pastures full of weeds and thistles, if that's what you want to do. That's why he says, you keep your heart. But he says to us that his words, we need to incline our ear to them. We need to pay attention to them. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Why should I do that? Well, they're life to everybody that find them and health to all their flesh. Health. Now, what that says is, you know, the Bible makes it very clear that God's Word is established forever in heaven. It's not going to change. It's not going to die out. His Word is permanent and it is eternal. Therefore, when he says that they're life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh, as long as our flesh has the potential to incur sickness and disease and affliction, his Word is power to counteract that. You see this? So as long as that kind of stuff exists, when will God's Word stop healing? When we don't need to be healed anymore. when we have our glorified bodies, there's not going to be a need for it. But until then, we need it. And so his Word, he says right here, my Word, what I have said to you, my testimonies, they're life to people that find them and health to their flesh. In other words, it doesn't happen automatically. Life to those that find them and health to their flesh. So you can live your whole life and never discover the fullness of the truth of God's word relative to healing for your body and health to your flesh. Now look over in John chapter 14. So we're seeing right here in the Word of God that healing is an ongoing reality for people, for the body of Christ. Now let me say this to you. Healing, what you would call divine healing, is an ongoing reality for the lost as well. You say, now wait a minute. Hold on here. By his stripes you were healed. I understand that. He sent his word and healed us. I mean, we're talking Christians here. Now, wait a minute. In John chapter 14, look at verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. See this? I mean, you don't even need to fuss about the greater works. Let's just think about the works. Well, what are some of the works that he did? Healed people. How many Christians did Jesus heal in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Okay, I rest my case, sort of. See this? He healed lost people. So you're telling me God doesn't do that today? Come on. We know better than that. Look at Mark chapter 16. We believe in him. The healings that he did, we shall do also. In Mark chapter 16, verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, shall they speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Notice he doesn't say they shall lay hands on the believers. He says they'll lay hands on the sick. Now what's that telling us? Well, contrary to what a lot of people seem to imply, divine healing is for Christians and for the lost. It's for everybody. God's not a respecter of persons. So we are to think then that just because somebody's lost, God's going to say, well, I don't want to heal you. I only heal those who believe in me. We're the ones that are supposed to be walking in the health and delivering the healing, like Jesus. The works that I do, you shall do also. What kind of work did he do? He walked in health and he delivered healing. See this? So divine healing is not just for the body of Christ, but it's also for the lost. And think of it this way. What an incredible way to witness to somebody. To pray for them, healing manifests, and their eyes get big and they look at you and ask, how did that happen? I mean, they might as well say, tell me about Jesus. See what I mean? What a tremendous way to win Muslims and Hindus and Mormons and everybody else. You operate according to what God has established relative to healing, and people will come to know Jesus. Listen, some people, you could raise their family from the dead and they're probably still not going to get born again. And some people, they're pretty hard nuts to crack. But others, you know, they can't wait to get born again if they see something like this take place, especially if it's like their own body or their children. Look in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now, relative to healing, what was the will of him that sent Jesus? To heal people. Remember in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and that Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Healing them all. That was the will of the Father. Now, if that's the will of the Father, and the Bible reveals that that is the will of the Father, and the Bible reveals that God's Word doesn't change, it's eternal, then that means the will of the Father is for people to continue to be healed. Look in John chapter 14. Verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Now here's the thing. If the Father is eternal, is he not? Now let me point something out to you. Here in Scripture, what we're reading right here took place in a group of people that were not eternal. I mean, they're physical bodies. You know what I'm talking about, okay? Now Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Or if you've seen me in action, you've seen the Father in action. Now what this is telling us is that the Father wanted people healed, did he not? How did he accomplish that? He sent his son Jesus to earth to live in a flesh body to administer his will to people. Now, Jesus could not administer salvation to people. Number one, he hadn't paid the price yet. Number two, you can't make people get born again. But according to the Word of God, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, everyone, no exception, everyone, whoever went to Jesus for a healing, they got it. No exception. So the will of the Father was being administered by Jesus to people on earth who needed healing in their body. Therefore, we know that God's will is still the same today for us to be healed. Look over in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. What do we see here? What we see is that God's word for healing, just what we've read, there's more that we could read, but just the sampling that we've read relative to healing, it's not going to pass away. It can be fulfilled, but it won't pass away. So therefore, whatever we need relative to healing, this is true. And this has to be our standard. The problem is most Christians, they really struggle getting a hold of this. Now, part of this question says, when I pray for healing for folks and tell them they are healed, and to human senses they are not as yet, what do I say? So how many times have we prayed for somebody and the healing didn't manifest? Worse yet, how many times have we prayed for somebody and they went ahead and died? I mean, that'll do a number on you. You know, we're supposed to be the mighty man of God, mighty woman of God. So where's the healing? I mean, what do we tell people? We pray for people, the healing doesn't manifest. What do we tell them? Well, a key to ministering to people concerning healing is to point them to what God has said. And this is so very important. Point them to what God has said, because when you do that, you're no longer trying to convince them of what you believe, but you're revealing to them God's desires. And what I have witnessed, and I've done this myself, and I've heard, you know, people talk about how they pray for somebody and they're trying to talk to somebody about all of this. What seems to happen the most is Christians who believe in healing telling other people, whether it's other Christians or lost people, what they believe. But they're not pointing them to God. Yeah, but healing is for today. You know, I call you. Well, why do you prayed for my son and the healing didn't manifest? I mean, you know, well, yeah, but I call him healed. I just call him healed in Jesus' name. Why? Well, because, you know, God's still the healer and, you know, I'm walking by faith and I'm believing. Okay, great. That's what you believe. But it ain't happening, honey. What's the deal here? And what we try to do is defend ourselves so that we don't look bad. And we end up in an argument with somebody. They already know what they believe. And all they're hearing from you is what you believe. So do yourself a favor. Pick you up and get you out of the picture. And point them to God's Word. Point them to what God has said. If you continue, you say, well, will that work? Not all the time, no. But what happens is, you're no longer presenting yourself as the authority figure. You're pointing them to God, and if they want to argue about that, you can just look at them and say, well, look, all I can tell you is, it's God's Word, okay? And God doesn't lie. And take a little blame for yourself. Maybe I'm not walking at the fullness of my relationship with God where I ought to be, but God's Word doesn't fail. I've seen people healed, I know this works, and I prayed in faith believing. Now, I'm not going to change what I believe relative to what God has said. Now, if you don't want to believe it, that's totally up to you. And especially when you're dealing with other Christians. You know, if you don't want to believe it, you know, you share with me your church doesn't believe that. Well, that's totally up to you. I mean, if you don't want to, you don't have to. But I'm just telling you, what does it say right here? Just like what I've done here a few moments ago. We went through all these different scriptures. I mean, this hasn't changed. God's Word, same yesterday, today, and forever. Heaven and earth pass away, the Word won't pass away. I mean, it's all right in here. Now, if you don't want to accept that, that's totally up to you. You know, you're born again, you're still going to heaven. Or, you know, God still loves you. You know, you may not understand all this, but this is just what God has to say. You know, it's not up to me. I didn't write this. I'm just telling you what God says in here. And keep pointing them back to God, back to God. And I've said this before in talking to people and in teaching. You don't get anywhere just trying to tell people what you believe. It just turns into an argument. You tell them what you believe, they tell you what they believe. I don't care if it's tongues or healing or anything. You tell them what, well, you know, but I believe that, and I believe that, and I believe that. Now, you've got to point people back to the Word of God, whether they accept it or not. Point them back to the source. Keep taking them back. This is absolutely critical when it comes to this whole thing of healing. Now, all of these verses that we read, he sent his word and by Jesus' stripes and so on and so forth. We say we believe these things. The problem is we don't always see the manifestation now, do we? And we wonder about that. Well, here's the thing. Since God can't lie, and his word says all it says about healing, then the problem must lie somewhere between God and the sick person. Now, who is in between God and the sick person? It's us. See, we're the only variable.
Well, it could be the devil.
And since when is Satan more powerful than the Word of God? And this is where the problem comes in, because we don't like to accept that we could be the problem. We don't like to accept that the issue could be with us. Let me read this to you. In reality, so many Christians acknowledge the eternal, unchanging truth of these verses, the verses we just read. But the life of those verses is not yet operating in their lives. Stated differently, we believe the verses, but the faith of those verses is not operating in our lives. Bottom line, God's word can't be wrong. So if God's word can't be wrong, it's got to be the carrier, the vessel carrying the word. That's got to be where the problem is. It can't be God, because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the Father's will was what? Everybody gets healed that comes to Jesus. It's just there. And we see that pattern in Scripture. So I've got to be the problem, not God. You say, well, and then what happens is, a lot of people want to talk about the sovereignty of God. Look over in Matthew 17. I'll show you something here. Matthew 17. Verse 14. Now what's happened is, you know, we've looked at this before, but Jesus, Peter, James, and John, the Mount of Transfiguration, and they come down from the mount, and it says, when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and off into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, or alone, privately, and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. He didn't say, well, you read on here, and it says, For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. What happens is, so many Christians jump ahead on this thing. They ignore the unbelief part, and they tell you that if you're going to cast out devils, you have to pray and fast. Well, like I've shared before, a growling stomach does not scare a devil out of somebody. The prayer and the fasting is dealing with the unbelief. And the unbelief, once conquered, enables the person to cast the devil out. So they said, why couldn't we cast him out? And he said, because of your unbelief. Not because you haven't prayed and fasted. He says, because of your unbelief. Now look over in Mark chapter 9. And take a look in verse 23. Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So what would all things include? Praying for the sick. All things are possible to him that believeth. And this is where a lot of Christians will accuse you of getting off into some kind of New Age stuff and, you know, getting out there in left field and you're not balanced and you don't understand and so on and so forth. Well, in reality, it's the people that don't accept this who are the ones that are imbalanced and out in left field. Because if Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible to him that believes. If Jesus said, this kind doesn't go out except by prayer and fasting, and the prayer and fasting deals with the unbelief. Why couldn't we do it? Because of your unbelief. We laid hands on and couldn't cast it out. Couldn't get this kid healed. Why couldn't we? Because of your unbelief. If you've prayed for somebody and the healing didn't manifest, and we've already established from God's word, it is His will for us to lay hands on the sick and for them to recover. It is His will for healing to manifest. This being true, if I pray for somebody, all the times that I have prayed for somebody and the healing has not manifested, if I were to schedule a personal audience with Jesus, and say, Jesus, I need to know something. You know those people in that prayer line? There were 30 of them. Now, every one of them came up because they had some kind of physical something. They wanted healing. Now, I prayed for them. I did what the Bible says, what you said. I laid hands on them and prayed. And it's been 8 months, and 15 of them still aren't healed. I mean, what's going on? Or 20 of them aren't healed. I mean, what's going on, Jesus? How come? Why couldn't I get them healed? Now, what do you think he's going to say to me? No. That can't be it. I believe. Because if I didn't believe, I would not have laid hands on them and prayed. You with me? So I do believe. So it can't be me. It's got to be, well, maybe it just wasn't God's will. Yeah, it wasn't God's timing. He needs to leave them sick a little bit longer. You know, rack up a few more medical bills. That's got to be it. Well, think about it. Yeah, let's think about it. Those disciples, why couldn't we cast him out? What are they saying? We tried. And the man said to Jesus, I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. In other words, they tried. So it wasn't that they didn't try. They did try. That's why they asked Jesus, how come it didn't work? And Jesus tells them, he said, because of your unbelief. Well, the same principle is here, it's for today. It's because of our unbelief. Now, some people would say, yeah, but I'm having a hard time with this. All right, what have we already established in God's Word that healing is for today? What have we seen in God's Word? We can do the works of Jesus. What have we seen in God's Word? Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. One way to identify unbelief is when we're not getting the results that the Bible says we should get. We should be able to cast out. How long does God want somebody to be possessed of a devil? What, a day, maybe? How about a month? Maybe a year? 10 minutes? God doesn't want anybody to have a devil living on the inside of them. He wants us casting devils out of people. Now, if we try and they don't leave, it isn't God's fault. If I lay hands on somebody and pray for their healing to manifest and it doesn't manifest, it's not God's fault. But yet a lot of people, when they pray and they don't get the results, immediately they refuse to accept the blame for themselves and they pass it off onto God as of, well, you know, God just didn't do it. I just don't understand why God did. And I've had that before. I've had people that have heard me teach on this repeatedly. And then, you know, they'll come to me and say, well, would you, you know, pray with me about, you know, so-and-so that, I mean, you know, I prayed for them, you know, my neighbor, my friend, my cousin, my whatever. And, you know, I prayed for them and you know, I don't know why God hasn't healed them. Now, that's what I've heard. I've prayed for them and I don't know why God hasn't healed them. Well, then that means there's something about them God doesn't like. I mean, there's got to be something there. I mean, it can't be you. You prayed for them. So you're not to blame. Well, maybe it's them. I mean, remember? Yeah, that's it, that's it, that's it. Remember what Jesus said? According to your faith, be it unto you. Bingo, man. It's not me. It's not God. It's them. They just don't believe. What about the little two-year-old that doesn't know how to believe? Still in a diaper. And you pray for that little two-year-old. And there's no healing. Now who do we blame? You can't see what I mean? We want to pass the blame on to everybody but ourselves. We don't want to accept the fact that maybe we're not where we ought to be as far as our walk with God is concerned. Here's the thing that's kind of hard for some people to deal with. When we pray for folks, if the healing doesn't manifest, the problem's not with God. The problem's not for the person that we're praying for. I mean, in some cases, maybe, but that's another sermon. Everybody who went to Jesus got healed. Now, why did they get healed? Because they went to him. He didn't ask, are you a Jew? Are you a Gentile? He didn't ask. I've known of people that have said things like, seriously now, they've said things like, if your healing hasn't manifested, you need to go back and double check and make sure you're paying your tithes. And there are people listening to this right now saying, that's right, Brother Martin, preach on. Jesus never asked anybody if they'd paid their tithes. He never asked anybody if they had given offerings. He didn't ask. He just, if they came to him for healing, they got it. All of them. Because their act of faith was going to him. Now listen, even if they did not believe he was the Messiah, all they knew was there's healing power flowing from this guy. So they went to him and they got healed. All who went to him got healed. Here's the thing that we have to get a hold of here. When it comes to, let's look at it from this perspective. When it comes to God working through us to bring about a healing in someone's body, he's doing all he can with what is available to him. Okay. You take your car to a mechanic, and it's not running right. You want your car fixed. And you watch the car as he pulls it into the shop, and you're kind of standing there, you know, just looking. And he goes to his toolbox, and he opens his toolbox, and the only thing in his toolbox is one Phillips head screwdriver and a pair of pliers. That's all he's got. Now, what can he do for you? Well, he might be able to change maybe a few like radiator hoses, but when it comes to a tune-up, forget it. He's not going to give you a tune because he doesn't have what's available to do it. See what I mean? God is, he's doing everything he can through us with what is available. And it's not his fault if, say it this way, if my faith isn't big enough on the inside of me for him to work with and work through so that the healing manifests, so that his healing power flows through me and touches those people's bodies. And see, a lot of folks, they don't want to accept this because everybody wants to believe they're God's man. Everybody wants to believe that they are right where they need to be in their walk with God so that God can use them however he wants to use them to bring about miracles and bring about whatever it is they think God ought to be able to do. And if it's not happening, it can't be me. I'm not the problem here because I know I'm where I'm at. There's no sin in my life. There doesn't have to be sin in your life for there to be a lack of faith. Just because you're not sinning doesn't mean that you're walking on water. Look over in... turn to Psalm 119. We'll do this. Psalm 119. God's using everything he can, doing everything he can. I can remember here a few years ago at one of the conferences out at the prayer center. And, you know, Pastor Dave Roberson has a much greater track record than I do when it comes to people being healed as a result of prayer. Well, there was a lady that brought her child. The child was maybe a year old, maybe two or something. I mean, not very old. And the child had a particular type of cancer and was dying. I mean, literally dying to the point to where the doctor said, you know, don't take the child. I think they came from Oregon. She'll die on the trip. That's how bad she was. But the mother brought her anyway. And during the Friday afternoon service, while another man was preaching, right in the middle of the service, that child died in her mother's arms during the service. So Pastor Dave stood up and shared that, you know, the child has died. So, I mean, everybody and their brother starts praying, rebuking death. I mean, doing everything. I mean, everything, absolutely everything that they knew to do. And, you know, some of the preachers, it's like they were standing in line to take turns, you know, to pray for the child and so on and so forth. And the child did not recover. Well, you know, that can be now, here's what's interesting. The conference before that, a lady dropped over dead during one of this praise and worship, during the praise and worship, one of the services. Just, boom, drops over dead. There were a couple of nurses sitting by her, and they went over and they checked her. She was dead. There was no pulse. There was no breath. She was turning blue. She was dead. Pastor Dave went over, rebuked death, and boom, the woman came back, and she was alive. Well, now here's this child that dies. Isn't that kind of similar? Remember the disciples? Jesus sent them out two by two, and they cast out devils and so forth. Now they can't get the job done. Well, why couldn't we? Same kind of situation. One person's raised from the dead. and the other person is not. Why not? And you know, Pastor Dave talked about it, and God told him, I'm doing everything I have, or I'm doing everything I can with what you're making available to me. In other words, what God told him was that you're not where you need to be for this kind of power to flow through you in this situation for this child to be raised back from the dead. See, that child didn't... Now listen, that child did not just need to be raised back from the dead. The child needed a total overhaul physically. It wasn't like somebody just has a heart attack and drops over dead and boom, you know, you raise them back. That child was eaten up with cancer on the inside. I mean, it was a brain tumor. It was just, and it had, I mean, it was a terrible situation. Terrible. So there needed to be more than just a raising from the dead. And Pastor Dave stood up and he admitted, you know, there's more to do. Spiritually speaking, there's more growing that needs to be done. Well, for us, the Bible tells us when it comes to unbelief, well, actually, when it comes to spiritual growth, and we've talked about this before, that prayer, primarily praying in tongues, fasting, worship, primarily private worship, and the Word, meditating, confessing, and so forth, that these things, these four, are identified in Scripture. These four are identified as leading to greater spiritual growth and development. Out of those four, two specifically address the area of faith. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And Jude 20, you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay? Those two specifically are identified as directly dealing with faith. Now, the other two help as well. Now, here's the thing. Somebody might ask, well, okay, but how much prayer does it take? I mean, how much word does it take? Whatever's necessary. Here's the thing, and this is, boy, this is a tough... Until you get the results like Jesus. He said, the works I do, you can do also. Until you get the results of Jesus, you haven't done enough. All of us. Me too, okay? All of us. In Psalm, I want to show you something that David wrote in here. In Psalm 119, verse 97, it says, oh, how I love thy law. Now think in terms of God's word, okay? It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, thy word, has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. All right, now who would your enemies be? Don't think in terms of devils. Anyone who does not believe the word of God. Remember when Jesus went to heal that little girl and he told everybody to get out of the house? He didn't need that kind of interference. Remember he walked up and he said, she's not dead, she sleeps. And everybody laughed at him. He knew right then, these people got to go. Because they're standing in between me and the work that God wants to do. Your enemies, relative to this, your enemies would be those who do not believe what God's word has said. He says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Relative to us today, what does that mean? That means if you meditate in the Word of God, you can come to the place of being wiser than all those people that seem to be somewhat among us. You know, a lot of these preachers on television and so forth, they say, I may tell you healing's not for today, yet God's Word can make you wiser than that. I understand, verse 100, more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments or from your word, your declarations, your truth, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. What is a false way? That would contradict the word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Verse 111, thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart. By Jesus' stripes we were healed, the rejoicing of my heart. God sent his word and healed me and delivered me from all destruction, the rejoicing of my heart. Verse 129, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. I hold on to them. I do not let my emotions tell me differently. Your word, your testimonies, that's the foundation of all that I believe. Verse 148, Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. In other words, I force myself to stay awake for the purpose of feeding on your word. That's a challenge. Verse 157. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet I do not decline from thy testimonies. Your persecutors and your enemies may be the person you're married to. It may be your parents, the people that are telling you that this stuff is not real. Verse 158, I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Who would the transgressors be relative to this message? The transgressors would be those who are speaking against the word of God, that this stuff is not for real. And he says, I was grieved. Why? Because they didn't believe you. Verse 159, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. How would God quicken us? Well, the Bible talks about, and I won't go into all this, but the Bible talks about God's word being a quickening power in our lives. Verse 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Whether I see it manifesting in my life and ministry or not, his word is still true forever, and it will not change. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Princes, think of it like this. Leadership in the body of Christ have criticized me for standing upon your word and what your word says. Verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. Boy, some of us, we might want to change that to maybe once a day do I praise thee. Great peace have they which love thy law or thy word, and nothing shall offend them. Now, boy, I could preach a month of Sundays on this 165th verse. Great peace have they. Listen, if you're troubled about why people aren't getting healed, his word can bring peace to you because it can help you get to the place to where the people are getting healed when you pray for them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. In other words, I see your word. Now, again, let's think specifically for this message. Your word says that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Over and over. All these passages. And not only that, he says here, I've kept thy precepts. Okay, what are some of the precepts in God's word? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I keep those precepts in my life. In other words, I am applying what they say. And he says, all my ways are before you. Now, thinking about this, I mean, there's so much more we could look at here just in Psalms concerning the Word of God and the power of God's Word. The bottom line is this. When it comes to praying for the sick, I stand before you tonight and I do not have the perfect track record that Jesus had. I've prayed for some people and bona fide miracles have taken place. I've never raised anybody from the dead, but almost. They weren't quite dead. The doctor said they were going to die in just a couple of days, so that doesn't really count, but it's close. It's really close. I prayed for them one day, didn't see anything take place, but the next day they were sitting up eating in their hospital bed. The doctor said it shouldn't happen. So I've seen great things happen when I've prayed for people, when I've ministered to people, but there are others that I've prayed for, they died on me. You say, well, my mom passed away. Of course, that was unexpected, but my dad, I should have been walking into a place to where I could have ministered to my dad and healing would have manifested. Kathy's dad passed away. I should have been where I should have been able to minister to him. I mean, I can go down a list of a lot of people that have been sick or some people that are still fighting battles in their body that I prayed for and the healing hasn't yet manifested. One of the hardest things in the world is to maintain your testimony, which is what David was talking about here, to maintain your testimony that I call you healed. I know the doctors say you aren't, and I know everybody else says you aren't, but I'm calling you healed. What would you want me to do? Do you want me to be in agreement with sickness and disease and call you sick and call you diseased and call you... Do you really want me to say that over you? No. Do you want me to prophesy that over you? No. Wouldn't you rather hear me call you healed and delivered and set free? Wouldn't you rather hear me say that about you? In the midst of all the pain and suffering, I mean, still, wouldn't you want me to still say that over you and call you what God says?
But what if it doesn't happen?
If it doesn't happen, I'm still going to say it. I still want to speak that over you. What if it does? Aren't you going to be glad that I didn't back off on the testimony of God's Word? Aren't you going to be glad that the rest of us didn't back off on what we confess over you? Now, listen, I know some people, they can get out there on a tangent and they don't want to tell anybody if they're fighting a battle. Now, in some cases, there's some wisdom to that. Whenever I fight physical battles, I rarely tell anybody about it, because one of the things that I don't want are people going around telling other people how sick Pastor Jim is. Well, you know, it don't look good. Well, he never looks too good. I'm sorry. And I'm not saying it's wrong. Let me put it like this. Be very wise relative to who you tell you're fighting a physical battle. Because some people, they mean well, but they'll just keep speaking sickness and disease over you to everybody they talk with. Be very selective about who you share this with. I will continue to declare healing. And I need to keep doing my part. It's not easy. It's just like the thing with Lazarus. Remember that? The disciples, you know, they kept on and kept on about it. And finally Jesus had to say, okay, look, he's dead. All right, he's dead. Well, gee whiz, Jesus, why didn't you just tell us to begin with? It's because I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. We're not all where we ought to be, but if we keep doing what God's Word says, we will keep growing in that direction. And guys, I'm telling you, God's Word is true. It can't fail. Therefore, if we do what He says relative to growing and maturing spiritually, we're going to start seeing more and more people healed, the manifestation of healing in their bodies, no matter what the sickness or disease. So don't get depressed or down if you're not seeing the results that you know you should see. Just keep pressing into God, just keep growing spiritually, and live on the hope and the confidence that God's Word working in you will eventually produce the results that God desires.